Welcome in, everybody, back to another episode of The Grubbucks. How you doing? Surviving your Monday, I hope? Surviving the day? You know, I think this episode, like, number 12 or so, or something around those? Something around that line?
Ish. Oh, it's one of them.
Oh, 12-ish.
12-ish. But correct me if I'm wrong, this will be the first episode since the first one that we've returned to go back to McDonald's. Is this the first time since the McRib disaster?
Wait, oh, did we not do spicy nugs?
Nope.
No. No, we never did. We should have. All right. But yeah, I mean.
We needed to give that time. We really needed time to heal and recover, and I feel like we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this well.
So now it's time to eat three things from McDonald's.
Exactly.
Oh.
We had to go and work on ourselves, and now we're back.
Exactly. Welcome in, everybody. We are the Grub Buds. Of course, I'm your host with the most? Sure. Truman Steen, the Steen Machine on Twitch and Twitter. I'm always joined by three very interesting guests and three of the regulars this week kind of here. We'll start in the top left. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good. A little tired, but if you watched yesterday's stream, you might know why. Oh, he ended it early, God. But trust me, it went on for a while.
Oh my God, we built a computer. It took, what, 6 hours, I think? We started at 6:30 my time. I think we ended at 2:30 my time. 8 hours, how about that? I mean, it was it being a pandemic, it being my first time, a lot of issues with building it. But thank you for sticking out with me, Joe. Sorry for killing your entire work day today. Cole.
Nah, it's okay.
Cole on our top right, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I was asleep by 9:30 last night, so.
Lucky.
Yeah, that was nice. That was good.
The duality of man. And Rory down here in the bottom left, how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing fantastic today. You know, we got
fantastic.
Some. I didn't have to wake up as early as Joe, but I went to bed around the same time. So
that's
just like sandwiched in the middle there.
Yes, and you know, I had a good Monday despite you know, having a. I don't know, man. I had a lot of debts to pay. I was worried about trying to get you breakfast. I think I ended up just sending you. I paid for your meal tonight, Joe. I woke up my roommate at 1 a.m. to ask if he had a flash drive, so I had to buy him a breakfast this morning. Didn't have to, but, you know, it's one of those things where probably just should. But let's talk about these food items that we've got ahead of us here. We are doing the McDonald's gauntlet. And, by the way, thanks for whoever followed there. We are starting off with the Shamrock Shake, just the classic March drink. The Shamrock Shake. Joe, thank you.
I've done it again.
Joe with his green screen.
Here. I can just turn that off.
That's no. Video. Oh, no. I love to see your disappearing shake.
Leave it as fun.
We all know what a Shamrock Shake looks like. And then we're also going to try.
It's the right color is the answer.
If you don't.
And then after, so we'll start with the shake. We'll do the grade there. And then we're going to do what we call surf versus turf. McDonald's came out, and this isn't your usual turf. Joe, that is surf and surf. McDonald's came out with. Today. I think it dropped today, right? Or did it drop?
Either today.
It dropped this like weekend, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped their new crispy chicken sandwich, supposed to be a competitor to Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. And then, you know, because it's Lent, we're also going to try the fish fillet. And we're gonna compare the two, tell you which one's better to get right now. But let's start off with the shake. Let's get a few sips here in and let everybody know where we're going. And then we'll, you know, get on with the news, man.
It's fantastic. One of a kind.
I mean, it's just a classic. I'm with you. It's
so good.
Is this anybody's first Shamrock Shake ever?
Actually, yes.
What?
Even
in college? I got a lot of Shamrock Shakes in college and made you go get Shamrock. You didn't come
nope.
When you came with, we never made you get what?
Nope.
What?
Oh.
That's crazy.
Really amazing fact.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not drinking a Shamrock Shake.
So as this being your first time having the Shamrock Shake, I guess your opinion probably matters the most here, Joe. What do you think of the Shamrock Shake?
I got to be honest. I'm enjoying drinking my Thin Mints. I feel like that's about the perfect way to describe this. I love drinking my Thin Mints.
And, of course, I always ask everybody to be in here at – we always flirt with starting the show at 7:30 Central Time, and it always ends up being 7:45. So, of course, everybody got here with their food 10 to 15 minutes ago. So these shakes have absolutely just gotten full liquid. You can't really tell.
I don't know what you guys know.
No, you're
when
still
I got home, I got home at 6:30, and I put mine in the freezer.
Oh.
And my food in the micro, so it tried to stay warm as much as possible.
You just shorten micro to microwave to micro?
You're hip and cool? The wave.
The wave, dude. Yeah, call it the wave.
That's what the kids do nowadays.
They do.
Yeah. All right. Well, fantastic. Okay, so that's kind of the first thoughts here. You know, again, it's a Shamrock Shake. Three of us have had it already. It's just a classic, and it's so good. But while we drink this for a bit, let's talk some weird news. I've got kind of a nice lighthearted one to start us off with. You know, I've decided it's on me to be the guy to do the lighthearted story every week, I guess. So what we are starting off with is a California family who found their missing French bulldog 600 miles away in Mexico. Yes, there's a lot to unwrap there. This story came out today. This is fresh. Some fresh news. But so basically, the French bulldog went missing from the family's home in the California Bay Area 4 weeks before it was found. And at 4 weeks later, after being purchased, a French bull. So somebody purchased. So somebody purchased the dog 600 miles away in Mexico. And then they found the dog and brought the dog back.
Yeah, so it says it had an identifying tattoo. So a tattoo used to identify it, and they matched that with the one they had.
Yeah, because it was an emotional support dog.
Right, it's an emotional support dog, which is a even better fact that they found this dog. It isn't just a family dog, but they just so
the children.
So somebody stole the dog and then sold it to a man in Mexico, and then they got the dog from the man.
Not necessarily stole it. It could have just been the dog ran away and somebody found it and took it to the pound, and then it got sold in Mexico.
How does a dog get across the border?
Yeah,
in a car.
I think they just let you take animals, right?
I feel like you have to.
I feel like as long as it's a normal animal, they're not gonna make you have papers for it.
No, okay. So they bought this dog from a man on the street in Tijuana, Mexico.
The person who found the dog bought him off of the street. Yeah.
Yes.
So the person's the real hero. He bought the dog off the guy and then returned it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was he down there scouting for the dog? Did they have a PI go find this dog?
It says he lived in the Bay Area since he was a baby, then was deported and lived in Tijuana ever since. And he just remembered a picture from social media or something.
Wow. That's even crazier.
So that's why people always post. Like, I always see the stuff that's like they'll always say like repost missing child or something, or you know, my dog went missing in KC area, could you please repost and stuff like that. So I always make sure to repost. So I mean, it's one of those things where it finally worked, you know. I mean, although I reposted something the other day and I think the person got found, which was cool, but it's, you know,
the person got found.
Yeah, it was like a teenager had gone missing, and then by the time I reposted it the day, and then the next day I checked it, and it had been edited and said found. And I was like, cool. Pog. Nice. But, so he... Oh, gosh. Okay.
It said his family member recognized it since he posted it on social media. They're like, I think I've seen that on social media before, and it's lost. But
God, what are the... What's
okay,
the
here, here we go, Truman. The last paragraph is what... It is believed that it was intentionally stolen to be resold due to their high value
and
popularity.
French bulldogs are fairly highly sought after, if I remember correctly. I know
they don't know why.
Right, because they have a lot of health problems. That's the thing that people forget about French bulldogs, is that because of their selective breeding and them being so high value or whatever, they have a bunch of health problems. You know, like any dog ever, like any purebred dog.
Yeah, if you
dog
have a
ever.
Purebred yeah. from yeah.
Okay, so this dog was stolen. It was dog napped. This is
possibly
oh, no.
Most likely.
Most
I thought
likely.
This was supposed to be a lighthearted story here, Truman.
I mean, this is lighthearted. They found the dog. This is at the end of the day. Dog. At the end of the day, the person got their dog back. They got reunited. If you see the picture, she's like crying while holding the dog. It's very sweet. And some guy in Tijuana, Mexico, made like a few hundred bucks. So good for him.
No, oh, it says he didn't accept a reward. He only got paid for the money he spent on the dog.
No, I mean the guy who stole the dog. You know, awesome, right?
Yeah. That's
well, all I want to say is I believe anybody watching, it is on the California authorities to find and put an end to this horrific dog napping ring. That's my statement.
Dog trafficking ring, Joe.
Is it dog?
Sure.
I guess it's dog. It's dog napping and then dog trafficking.
I was about to say, yeah, because if they don't take him across the border, it's not trafficking there, Rory.
But they definitely took this dog across the border.
Yeah.
This is dog trafficking. Also, it's both, but
cool, great. All right,
I'm glad we went down.
I'm glad we could get to the bottom of this. Gosh, that's wow.
The utmost legal authority.
I don't. That's just there. It's just such an odd range of coincidences. There, dog has a tattoo. Somebody lived in Mexico. Somebody got deported from California. Now living in Mexico, finds dog, buys dog, sends dog back. Everything's fine. That's just, and yes. The dog just happened to have a identifying tattoo. That's, yeah. I mean, that's
wild,
right? Yeah, for it's not even like a person where you're like, I think that's the person. I'm pretty sure that's the person. You know, it's just a dog, and you know, not all dogs look the same, but a lot of dogs look pretty similar from pretty close. You know, and
yeah, they're pretty close.
Yeah, that's just, oh man, that's crazy. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words about this story just because it's such an odd range of coincidences for this to happen. I'm at a bit of a loss here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does anybody else have more to say about the dog? Is that, I mean, is it?
I think we've, we found this dog.
Yeah, yeah. I think
we can.
The dog
move
is
on to rating the Shamrock Shake soon.
Yeah, let's get into rating our Shamrock Shake so we can get into the main courses. Well,
yeah, I'm hungry.
Let's see here, Joe. You're in the top left. You turned off your green screen so I could assume you could talk about the Shamrock Shake while being able to see it.
On my end, there it just is a bunch of noise that apparently nobody else can see, so it annoys me.
Jeez, your shake is—that shake is green,
that's
man.
That's hella green.
That is
you got a lot.
That is the greenest
the
Shamrock Shake. Because I like,
hell
I,
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah, yours is like a pale green, and mine's like, wham.
Right, because it's essentially a vanilla shake that they just. Oh
wow,
they, yours
Rory's is. Rory's about on my level.
Yours is yeah. white. What the?
Mine
is mine is empty.
Oh, yours is. Oh, yours is gone. Oh, you
the
win.
Color of empty.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
but,
is E.
All right, Jake. Whoa. All right, Joe.
Uh-oh.
As being the this your first time to ever have the Shamrock Shake, what would you rate it out of 100?
I'm not disappointed. I'm a big fan of shakes and stuff like this. Like shakes in general. But I know I usually go for fun flavors. You know, I'm a huge fan of concretes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
From Sheridan's and like Culver's and whatnot. So I gotta give this is an 85. This is a solid A of a fast food item.
What concrete do you get when you go to Sheridan's?
Oh,
fuck your astrology sign. What kind of concrete do you get?
Well, I've only ever really am close to Unforked, and they have one where it's like they have two that I've gotten recently that I love. There's like the wedding cake where it's just a piece of white wedding cake,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just dropped into some custard,
mm-hmm.
and then they have another one recently that was seasonal for the fall that was a slice of apple pie.
Ooh,
with like okay. caramel on it.
Ooh.
And that one slapped.
Okay,
especially when you're drinking, you get like a chunk of apple and you're like, that's what's up, that's what I'm here for.
Interesting. All right, so an 85 from Joe and weird concretes. Cole, what would you rank it?
Well, so Joe mentioned earlier about it being like drinking his Thin Mints, and I completely agree that that's like a good way to introduce the Shamrock Shake to someone. Mm-hmm. But I personally love the Shamrock Shake way more than I even like Thin Mints. Like, Thin Mints are very good, but mm-hmm. the Shamrock Shake is so good. I don't just crave the Shamrock Shake. I've had one every single week since the Shamrock Shake came back out this year. Like, it's not a craving. It's a part of me. And so with that, I have to give it a solid 91 because it is just insane. It blows my mind every year. Every year, the first one's always the best, but they never let me down. So
okay, interesting.
If I may ask a question real quick, do you think it's because the lack of chocolate? Because Thin Mints, there's always a lot of, you know, the chocolate flavor is a big part of it. Correct. Whereas this is just kind of that middle bit.
I think it's the hindrance of the mint. There's like the vanilla flavoring either from the ice cream or it's within the mint flavoring mm-hmm. itself. Mm-hmm. But it's not exactly just mint. It is this creamy mint deliciousness never really quite been able to describe that one, but it's very good.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. All right.
The je ne sais quoi.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rory?
It's just an absolute classic. It's one of my favorite limited time menu items. Mm-hmm. And I just, to keep it short and sweet, a nice 89 here.
89. It's just
really good. Really well put together. Mm-hmm. Peppermint, ice cream, whipped cream. You can't mess up that. You just can't mess it up.
But it does fall off that. But for you, apparently, it falls just a little bit out of that part of me section.
I've tried to eliminate as many Shamrock Shakes as I used to drink because they are like 500 calories for a small.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Good. I got a large.
Yeah. Yeah, a large is 800 calories. I was looking at it on the app.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to have to rate this. Yeah, I'm going to put it right at a 90. I love a good Shamrock Shake. It's, like we said, you know, I think we all said it in different ways. It's just the perfect. It's like the start of spring. It's, you know, St. Patrick's Day. It signals so many things. And it's honestly just so quality. And the reason I asked about your concrete, Joe, is when I go to like Sheridan's and stuff, I get a grasshopper concrete, which is the mint chocolate chip. So I love mint stuff. Like a nice mint chocolate chip shake, a nice everything like that. So a mint shake like this, fucking phenomenal. Awesome. Great.
Didn't Sheridan's at one point have, or maybe still has, like a Kansas dirt? Remember that dessert where it was like vanilla pudding and whatnot? Don't they have a concrete that's like that where like they just dirt and worms. Have Oreos and gummy worms in it? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got one of those. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, everybody's got one of those. Okay.
Yeah, if you can find a Sheridan's, there's like three remaining, but there used to be one up north where my sister lived. But
So
that brings us.
Did Cole do the math? What's our average on that, Cole, or is that for the end of the episode?
No, we can do it now.
It is 88.75.
Ooh,
certainly I dragged one it of down. The higher rated items that we have had.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that being said, let's get into the main courses here, gentlemen. This has been a good base. We've had a nice appetizer, appetizer.
This looks amazing. Yeah.
Hold on, I want to grab a knife. Let me just describe it. Describe it for the audio listeners.
I'm going to go ahead and say other reason I turned off my green screen is because of the similarity slider where I have that at. Because of my terrible lighting, it was picking up the letters on the Filet-O-Fish box as well as the pickle on the chicken sandwich bag.
Perfect.
And I got annoyed.
Perfect. We're looking at a nicer hamburger bun, a nicer McDonald's hamburger bun here.
Mm-hmm. It's a brioche.
Looks like a brioche.
Yeah, it may be brioche. I don't think it's brioche. It's definitely not brioche.
It looks like it's
toasted. It's a toasted bun.
Oh.
A nice looking piece of chicken. Quite a bit of sauce. At least on mine.
Did you get the spicy?
I was going to say, there's not sauce on the regular.
Did you end up going spicy?
I did end up going spicy. That's
fine.
Yeah. I want to try the spicy. If I'm trying one of these bad boys, it's the one I want to try.
That's a nice little, that's a thick piece of chicken. You know, it's not, it's definitely thicker than the McChicken for sure. It's, you know.
It definitely has less care put into
it. It's in the same bag that Popeyes and Chick-fil-A use. To signify that they're competing with.
Yeah, the one that you can't microwave, if I can get that to focus. There we go.
Nice.
Do it every time. It heats up my food so fast, dude. It's like 10-second microwave.
Dude, that little lightning zap, dude? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we'll do this, and then let's get into it. Okay.
That's actually better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's... Like, I think you always expect McDonald's not to compete with, like, higher quality restaurants. Or less, you know... I would call... I know, I'm sorry.
Just look at it, Cole.
I'm sorry. Popeyes? I would call Popeyes and Chick-fil-A higher quality food than McDonald's,
because they do less things and they put more care into it, you know?
Sure, they put... Popeyes doesn't put more care into it. But...
Choose Popeye with carry.
But yeah. Then the places that only make chicken sandwiches. Popeyes and Chick-fil-A only make chicken. It's surprising how well this sandwich competes with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad it's not the, you know, ground slime that they use for everything else.
Yeah, that's a chicken breast. Okay. So that was the... This episode is... Ooh, it's got a nice little cool bag for the spicy. This episode is Surf versus Turf. The chicken was the turf. So, let's also try just the classic fish fillet. A fun fact about the fish fillet... A Filet-O-Fish, yeah, shit. Is that it's the only McDonald's sandwich where they steam the bun. Very fun fact there for you.
Giving it that perfect...
Incredibly fun.
Yeah, that's why it's so smooth on top there, because that's a steamed bun, as opposed to any other bun at McDonald's where they just fucking slam that bitch on there.
This one looks toasted. The chicken one?
No. Yeah, it's toasted. Yeah, they definitely take butts, but this one's steamed. So, so Cole, you've never had a fish fillet, a Filet-O-Fish.
No, sir.
Rory, you haven't had one since childhood, so you're about to take a bite of it. Sorry. Wait. So let's taste it. Yep, exactly how I remember it.
Yep, it's just a... It's just a fish sandwich.
Yeah. What I'll tell you is that turf probably kicks surf's ass. I don't know. Does everybody? That's. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. We'll do the ratings.
Watching the same game.
Okay. So they say it's. I'll talk about it later. It's fine.
Okay. All right. I guess while we scarf down these sandwiches, let's talk some more weird news. Rory, would you like to get us rolling?
Let me just give you the title here. Mm-hmm. So we have a giant teddy bear held to ransom in exchange for 2 Greg's sausage rolls.
What?
I think that's a European thing. Maybe
I'm searching for it.
It's got to be like a.
Oh, it's literally just like a pork sausage inside of pretty much pastry.
Interesting.
Fancy pig in a blanket.
Of course.
So I think this grocery store, I believe, had like a bear outside of it with a caution vest.
Uh-huh.
And it held a sign that said, "Keep smiling." And some people took the bear named Rainbow and left a ransom note asking them to meet them in the park with 2 sausage rolls. And they're evidently not negotiating with terrorists or hostage takers and are refusing to meet them.
So we're just going to let the bear die?
It's a stuffed bear. It's not going to die.
Oh, wait. Stuffed bears can die, Jeff.
Oh, they're going to murder this bear.
Certainly. But they'd have to leave it in, like, a public place, right? Like, if they do anything... They're just going to leave it in the middle of that parking lot, knife in it, stuffing everywhere, like the worst, most criminally imaginable death to any teddy bear possible, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you've got to absolutely fucking murder that bear. That's what I'm telling you.
Whoa, wait. No, maybe we should not murder the bear.
I mean, sorry. Endangered animal. I'm not cheering for killing the giant teddy bear, but I'm telling you, if you do it, better make a spectacle of it.
We'll say you gotta
be tastefully done. Is what I'm saying.
As tastefully as you can kill a stuffed bear.
Yeah, yeah. There's ways, I assume. I don't know. I'm not a pro. Never killed a stuffed bear in my life. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It says the town was given false hope over the weekend, though, when a stuffed bear was spotted outside a care home. But this was found to be a different toy called Stormzy. So,
not second Stormzy. Stuffed bear
named, yeah. So Stormzy kind of scamazed them and thought they'd found Rainbow, but the hunt continues.
Chance, there's only one Rainbow. That's really important.
Only one Rainbow the Bear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Says, gosh, why would you... How much do Greg's sausage rolls cost?
Oh, it's a prank, dude. It was
right, for sure.
16-year-old meme. Like, I don't know. He did it for Reddit. Like, there's no doubt, right? Like, this is existing. The other side of the story exists somewhere on Reddit at this point.
I'm sure. But these like,
are
like
homemade Hot Pockets. I mean,
right. So they're not going to negotiate with terrorists, but you're going to get your bear killed over $5 worth of sausage rolls. I understand the principle is that, you know, if you give sausage rolls to one bear murderer, then you got to give sausage rolls to all the bear murderers of teddy bears. But I mean, you still got to do it, right?
You can't just not give it to people.
Right. That's...
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm still shocked by the sandwich.
Those sausage rolls cost...
Choking on sandwich.
Drum roll, please. It's $1.25 a piece.
American? Is that American?
Or $2.50.
$2.50 to get your bear back.
So was that 1 pound?
Yeah, but the bear was 99 cents. Come on.
Have you seen those stuffed bears? They go for like $40 at the Walmart.
That's a massive bear. That's a big bear.
Is it a big bear?
It's not like the size of us.
It's like half the size of the house with this perspective.
In this perspective, yeah, nice one.
Maybe not.
Only tip from McDonald's: Rory, your sandwich had sauce on it.
Yeah.
Give the classic something, like even if it's just mayo. Thoughts? No.
No. I mean, you could just order. We can talk about that.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got thoughts to say on this sandwich for sure. My thoughts on this bear. Fucking give him the sausage rolls. Who cares? Like, a childhood hero of so many local kids is just going to get murdered, probably.
Well, the other thing is, wasn't it a grocery store?
Yeah.
They're not paying for sausage rolls.
I mean, it's the grocery store that makes the sausage rolls.
Right, so it doesn't even cost $2.50 for them. It probably costs 50 cents for them. To just give them two rolls. Why? So much why on this. We're not going to negotiate with terrorists. I get it. But, like, maybe we should. Maybe.
Well, like, maybe just get your bear back.
And it's got to be a part of the act, right? Like, the terrorists took it. And they're asking for sausage rolls, already a meme. The grocery store is like, well, we can meme back. We don't negotiate with terrorists. I feel like every movie ever, they always say, we don't negotiate with terrorists, and then they negotiate
with terrorists. And then behind the scene, they're secretly always negotiating with terrorists.
Every time. So yeah.
Honestly, I think the move before you kill the bear is leave an arm. By the doors to the grocery store.
Jesus.
Just one of his little foot pads.
Exactly. That's straight up gay. Like, give him a finger or something.
Go to the CEO of the grocery, the manager of the grocery store, wakes up with the teddy's head in its bed. What's in the box?
No, he's in the bear's
They drive out. They drive out to the middle of the field and they open. What's in the box? Sorry, ruin a classic movie if you haven't seen it. But, I get it. You don't negotiate with bear terrorists, but maybe you realize that
bearerists
that we're all fighting over. All right.
Can we just do a three-man show? Is this possible?
You know what, Joe? You don't get to talk until it's the turn for your news story, which is right now, Joe. Just for that, I'm gonna make you go. Joe, tell us what's going on in your news story, Mr. Bearerist.
So my news story is fun. The University of Exeter.
Sure.
Apparently had some construction going on nearby, and while they were doing this construction, they found an unexploded World War II bomb.
Okay.
A German bomb, commonly referred to as, I saw it, the Hermann bomb.
Okay.
So, Saturday, the Royal Army evacuated 2,600 nearby properties and set the thing off. It was said that it could be heard several miles away when it was detonated at 6:10 p.m. on Saturday. Nobody was hurt. Some reported that they found some windows shattered by the blast. I'm sure they're going to be covered. There's a video if you want to play it for stream, but
Sure.
It's a pretty standard bomb going off. You just don't usually get to see bombs go off in cities.
Is there a standard bomb going? Do you see bombs go off in the country?
Not really.
That's
pretty cool.
I know, it's just a pretty good explosion.
Interesting. Huh.
Nobody was hurt, some windows were broken. Good old-fashioned bomb going off in the city.
Yep,
terrorists.
Just a classic bomb going off in the city. Yep, for sure.
You know, just a good old bomb classic, going off in the city.
We've got bearist. We've got bombs going off in the city. What is happening in Britain right now? What is going on?
They're trying to find ways to
time, bro.
And there's also there's coronavirus going on. You guys blowing up bombs, stealing bears during coronavirus?
How are you supposed to socially distance bomb?
Well, to be fair.
What?
You gotta set the bomb off. You don't want to leave it there. That's more problematic.
I mean, it's been there for 7 years.
Then building your building on top of it, and then one day somebody drops a stapler.
Joe's got a point here, because even if it's been there for 7 years and hasn't gone off, it is still obviously live enough to go off. Unless they put something in this bomb to make it blow up, just to blow up a bomb. But it just says the bomb was detonated. So this bomb was still primed and ready to go. So I guess I do have to support Joe here in that you do just have to blow up the bomb, I guess. But
you want to set off the bomb.
It's amazing. It makes you wonder, right after World War II, right after World War I, in those times when there's just, like people have been launching artillery like crazy. And it's not like you're not, tracking the enemy's artillery shells and saying, oh, that one over there didn't blow up. We weren't that great at making munitions. They weren't perfect yet by any means, and they aren't even perfect now.
Right.
How was that a common thing when we started moving back into areas that were previously war zones, that it was like you'd just be walking down the street and you'd kick a lump that was on the side of the maybe in someone's front yard and just accidentally trip on it and you're like, it was a live bomb. Was that just an issue? Did that ever come up?
I want to say that the thing would be is that most of the bombs went off.
But it was
World War II, so there's probably a good number of bombs that didn't go off.
They were dropping enough bombs that most of the bombs going off is still a lot of bombs not going off. there's still a lot of bombs everywhere.
But that's not like 99.9%. You're sitting on thousands of bombs and unexploded in Europe.
Some government agency was like, all right, World War II is over. We're going to walk around with some metal detectors and see if we can stop children from dying.
Imagine having that job. Holy shit.
And as somebody in the construction industry, I'm very confused how they found this bomb without it going off. Like, because at the end of the day, you're probably, it's probably somewhat what underground, right? It wasn't like on the street corner and everyone's like, don't know what that metal thing is. I better look in 70 years.
Survey with some ground penetrating radar just to make, you know, just to see what all's down there. Maybe so you can plan foundations.
Right. Maybe you're doing what is it?
Geologic survey.
What? Did you say geocaching? God damn it. Hey, I found this note in a post. Pretty cool. But it's a bomb.
It says there's a bomb.
But it's a bomb. A bomb. Can you imagine somebody just wrote a riddle? They're like, there's a bomb under here. Geological survey. We'll just go geological report. That's not the actual name for it, or geological survey. Also not really the name for it, but we'll just call it that. But maybe they caught it through that. But it was found on a construction site. And all that geo stuff that you do for construction is done before construction. So what I'm telling you is they are probably excavating or something if you had to find this. Because it's probably underground. Because it dropped from the sky and we never found it. And so the fact that... did we get under it? Or we just barely missed over the top of it? Whatever happened to find this bomb is pretty incredible that somehow that didn't set it off.
Maybe it was like right next to it.
It was one of those like bucket scoopers. So just clunk. We should look at that.
Right. I guess at the end of the day, it's probably... What? Yeah.
Not super live.
Yeah, right. It didn't... It dropped from... I don't know, thousands of feet in the air and didn't blow up. So maybe a construction arm just hitting it wouldn't have blown it up. But
another 80 years probably hasn't done any help to the... If I had to say anything, it's probably all the ignition and, like, bomb go off stuff is broken. But there's still probably thing that can go off that might be okay. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Who pays for the windows also? I guess just the government. They're like, you know what?
I'm sure
guys never found that bomb.
Germany?
I think I know how they found
still
it.
Still paying reparations, right?
I think literally all... So I was looking it up. I think they called 811 before they dug. Simple. You call 811.
Dig right.
That easy.
Dig safely. It's the law. Yeah.
But you have to use their country code, of course. But then, you know, it's...
Simple. Yeah.
What is that red flag with the skull mean? Oh, there's a bomb under there. Wait, what?
That's our bomb mark. That's the red is bombs. The red is bombs. We don't get to use the red very often. Pretty cool. Pretty cool
red
getting
X.
to use the red.
Red X is bombs. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's very particular. Well,
what's cool, I think it was you that mentioned the dude whose job it would be after the war to, like, go find all the bombs. You would see such massive swings. Or was that Truman?
Did anybody say that?
It's like you'd be walking around the metal detector, like, you know, it's like, oh, cool, a coin or something.
Second worst job is probably the guy trying to find the bombs because he's having to go around with a metal detector and shit. The worst job is the guy who has to dig it up and figure out if it's a bomb, because half the time he's digging up bombs, the other half the time he's digging up fucking keychains. Like, what a job.
Oh.
No, that would be awful. And then, well, I think we should move that to third and second. And the first one is the guy who has to come in after they figured out it's a bomb and has to do something about it.
No, that's easy. Yeah. That's the easy part. Fucking get everybody away. We're going to fucking slap the fuck out of it and run.
Slapping a bomb and running away.
Hit him with the old...
Back in my day, we did this was... Yeah. It's some dumb, like, experiment with, like, a rope and, like, a fire underneath it. And then when the rope goes off, it's just going to, like, drop a brick.
Yeah. I guess
I'd assume you just put plastic explosive on it, detonate the plastic explosive, it detonates the bomb.
No, this is what 4th of July lighting fireworks has trained us for. You light it, you run away. Same idea, same concept.
You just hope you make it.
Just
slap it.
Just don't lean over it when you're setting it off. Everybody knows that. That's the rules.
That's the key.
I mean, it's just a miracle. We've had a lot of miracles so far on this episode that just somehow this bomb didn't get set off. Somehow we found it safely. Somehow we got to detonate it. Nobody got hurt. Only a few windows broken. you know, new windows on the bright side, you know.
Hell yeah, new
windows are expensive.
You're like, hell yeah, I was getting new I was gonna get new windows anyway. Thank God they found that fucking bomb.
I was saying now they're probably lead free too.
That thing. Very nice.
Lead free, yes. All right, let's wrap it up. Final story. Cole, you have somebody that has an that had very unfortunate timing, correct?
Correct. Yes, and I like it for me because this is exactly the type of thing that would happen to me. And I think it's perfectly relevant given that you just recently started your own TikTok account, because this is also about a TikToker. Her name is Leah Holland. She has, I guess, pondered. She spent about two years pondering a self-affirmation tattoo that she had really wanted. As a person who enjoys tattoos, I can, you know, obviously suggest that type of, like, spending lots of time thinking about what you want, because once you figure it out, if you don't like it in 3 months, then you can just change your mind. It's like super cool. Leah did everything right, but unfortunately, when she got her tattoo on March 4th of 2020, noticing that timeline, she happened to get it right before, 2 days before, in fact, her state of Kentucky went on lockdown. And that would be pretty irrelevant for 99.9% of all tattoos, except that in this case, given she got it right before the pandemic started, the tattoo said, "Courageously and radically refuse to wear a mask." This is clearly referencing a metaphorical mask, but unfortunately, with the times that we've gone through in the last year, very easy to say that don't wear a mask means a very particular thing right now.
Right, right.
She did in her TikTok clarify that she is not an anti-masker, so proud of her for that. Good. How the hell, man? I am amazed that like that is that I don't know if you can if you have her picture up from
I do.
Tweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I got it up. I mean, it's a I don't know. Like, I guess it's not a bad looking tattoo. It's not my kind of tattoo. I'm not a big paragraph or words kind of guy, probably. I only have one tattoo. It's a parachuting panda that's on my back. I'm gonna get another tattoo once things get back to normal. It's just gonna be a fish on the other shoulder blade. But I don't hate it. I'd be like, cool, kind of a cool gun of cool tattoo, but yeah. Obviously, yeah. Just a terrible spot.
It's a nice look. Downsides, man. Like
unfortunate.
I also like the idea of symbolism in tattoos, not a huge fan of like just exact words. Mm-hmm. But this gives me a whole nother reason to pick symbolism, because like if I got a tattoo of a picture of something very vague and I can say, this is what it means to me. Mm-hmm. But then if what it means to me completely changes and my belief ends up being horribly wrong 10 years later, I'm like, well, actually, this is what it means to me. It's a reminder of the opposite of that. Like, you can flip it straight on its head. It's so easy.
Right.
But when you say exact words, very particular like that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of stuck.
Right. Yeah.
You're in a bad spot.
No regrets.
That sucks. It's right on her arm too. So on the bright side, like she's probably had an all right like winter when cases have been really bad. You just wear stuff, but you know, as summer gets here, it's just gonna not land well.
It's gonna oof.
It will show.
But it's even funnier that she's wearing a mask in the picture where she's pointing at the thing that says not to wear a mask. That is, yeah. I think that's. I mean, you could always just tattoo over refuse. Such as courageously and radically wear a mask. Just really, really make a statement,
like,
you know?
That's really what you're... A single little line, like you can still clearly see refuse to, but like just one line right across there.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
That's easy cover up. Perfect.
Right. And I mean, and it's one of those things where even after this is all over, if people see this and think that you got it during that time, or even after that time, they will think that you are insane. They will think that you're a crazy person. Like, because even people who are anti-mask, which is a whole other thing on its own thing, we're talking food. It's, even, like, even they would be like, it's crazy to get a tattoo of not wearing a mask on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I love Pizza Hut over Papa John's. I'm not getting a tattoo of it. If you were that dedicated to it, I'd go, you're fucking crazy about Pizza Hut over Papa John's. That's crazy. And so,
yeah, you guys are going to be like, okay.
Right. So, I mean, and then you'll attract the crazies. The crazies will be like, dude, sweet tattoo. Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's... it makes me rethink getting any more tattoos. That's what it does.
Hey, as long as it's not words, you're fine. You're golden.
I guess.
Vague pictures.
I'm just going to get a ram, line.
Ram whatever tests?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Where they show like pictures of amorphous blobs. Those are new tattoo style. It's going to be sick.
Yeah.
It's always going to be in. You'll see how it is. It's perfect.
I had a teacher in high school who had her maiden name tattooed down her back. And then when she got married, she tattooed the guy's name across, like a cross, like a Scrabble puzzle. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And then they got divorced. And then it's like, oof. Yikes. So.
Hey, it just means she gets a triple word score this time, right?
Oh.
And you guys hated bearerists.
Yes, and I still hate bearerists. We will not negotiate with bearerists or people who use bearerist language. So, I'm really full of food, man. I'm ready to get this show on the road, go take a nap. Let's rate some surf versus turf, eh?
Let's do it.
Works for me.
Where do we start? Let's start with Cole. Cole, you've never had a Filet-O-Fish sandwich from McDonald's.
Yes, sir.
So we're gonna make you start with. Let's just have you rate both sandwiches. Give us your head to head. It'll be a little longer than our normal stuff, but we'll still be able to make it work.
Both sandwiches. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, starting with sheer disappointment, that's actually a horrible description. I'm not a fish guy. I like not fishy fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's my favorite. And I think the only place that I really enjoy fish flavor is like a good fish taco, things like that. That those fish on a bun has never been something I've ever craved. So that gives, I feel like, pretty good reason for why I'm about to rate the Filet-O-Fish where it is. That being said, I think it's quality for it being McDonald's. It's all there, despite the fact that I don't like it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put it right at a nice 69.
Nice.
I would never go out of my way to get a Filet-O-Fish. Ice is another reason. So when we jump over to the sandwich, the chicken sandwich itself, the chicken sandwich was like 30 or 40 cents cheaper than the Filet-O-Fish.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like, what, three-ish, but like 350 or something?
Yes, yeah, because that puts the Filet-O-Fish over like closer to $4.50, which by all means, I live in Kansas.
Yeah.
Sure. That doesn't, like, fish is never going to be cheap in Kansas, but it's still McDonald's fish, so. Is it really fish? Who knows? It's a mystery. But the chicken sandwich was amazing. And Joe, you mentioned it didn't have sauce. I agree that sauce would probably put it over the moon for me. But what I did not expect was I bit into it, and the chicken has so much moisture still. It's not dry. It's not like I had no problem getting through it. And I'm a really saucy person. I like a lot of sauce on my sandwiches. That helps, like, it helps it go down the gullet or whatever. it's just like it's my personal preference. So the chicken sandwich, though, had it had sauce, could have been a really, really almost perfect sandwich. But I'm still craving this. It's still really good. The chicken still tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes not as good, but really close to being as good as a Popeyes chicken sandwich, which I think is the god tier chicken sandwich. So,
yeah, for sure.
Take that as reference. So I give it a solid 83. Very good. Very 80. Quality, in my opinion.
83. Just to confirm, 83.
Okay, so we cut out a little bit for everybody else right there.
Yeah. It's fun. It's even funnier for some. I find it kind of funny that you called Popeyes the god tier chicken sandwich. I think that's funny. When it's a big competition versus Chick-fil-A. But
which is God's chicken.
Whatever. No, bro. Closed on Sundays. Well, you know what? We're going to mix all the things up. Rory, I'm going to make you go second just because you hadn't had it. You've had the longest time off, and you also had the spicy chicken sandwich. So I'm interested on how that went.
So the first thing I want to point out is they say it's Alaskan Pollock, but I don't know if bragging about Alaskan Pollock is really the move here, but I guess it shows it's real fish. I guess is what they're going for.
Right.
But for a fish sandwich, it's fine. $4.70 for the sandwich without meals or anything. It's an average price. It's a fine sandwich. Pretty good tartar sauce, honestly. I know they had that advertisement where they talked about all the like types of meat, and then he gets to the fish filet of fish. It's like tangy tartar sauce.
Yeah, they're like, hey.
wait a minute.
Tartar sauce is good. It's a fine sandwich. I'd give it probably about where an average would be, which probably would be like a 73. So I'll give that a 73. It's fine. I like fish. I don't know if I'd go out of my way to get McDonald's fish.
Yeah.
But there's obviously better places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
For the spicy, crispy chicken sandwich, sauce was really good. And they added so much sauce, and they added a lot of kick to it. And I think they seasoned the chicken also differently, but I couldn't tell. There's so much sauce on it.
Sure.
It was a really good sandwich. I'd give it like an 88, and I'd say Popeye's, from what I remember, would be 92 or 93. So it's getting close, but I think just Popeyes has so much more meat and a better bun and better pickles.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a really good sandwich. You should definitely go try it.
Better.
It's just, it's just better.
And Joe, I think you have a different opinion on the Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A debate than we do. Am I correct in that?
No, for me it's a mood.
Interesting.
I was going to say, for me it's a mood. Sometimes I'm feeling Popeyes, sometimes I'm like, you know what I really want today? Chick-fil-A. And that's honest. Like, in my head, they're both right up there. They both have their own thing going for them. But like I said, that's pretty much just a mood for me, is which one's winning that day.
Interesting. So how do you rate these sandwiches?
The Filet-O-Fish, I'm a big fish guy. And I know that this is, of course, Kansas McDonald's fish, Alaskan Pollock, or whatever it is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I still dig this sandwich, and I don't know if you know this, Truman, but you've probably seen me get some when it's not Lent.
Yeah, I've seen you eat. I would say that out of all the fast food fish, McDonald's is the one that sells it year round. So,
yeah,
I'd have to guess outside of Lent, I'd have to guess McDonald's slays the fish sandwich game.
Well, I mean, it's probably a good thing that they keep all this stuff in the freezer, so that, you know, it's just like, oh shit, somebody ordered one again.
Yeah.
It just lasts the whole time. But yeah, so the Filet-O-Fish for me, every now and then I get a craving. So not in the 80s, but I'll give it like a 75.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm feeling it and I want a Filet-O-Fish.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken sandwich, yes, Cole, I do agree with you. However, I am a big, like, saucy person, just like you said, to the point that I will almost always take sauce over, you know, even if it's moist chicken, all that. I'll usually always put sauce on it as well. So maybe it's just a situation where I should, you know, like Chick-fil-A, they don't have sauce in the sandwiches. It's moist chicken, but you know, it's just,
hey, yeah, I want some mayo.
Yeah.
You know, maybe stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just know Popeyes, both versions of the sandwich have sauce and all that fun stuff.
Interesting. So sorry. Oh, what, so the chicken sandwich.
Let's see. I gave the Filet-O-Fish 75. I'll give the chicken sandwich an 82.
Interesting.
It was pretty good compared to either the other two chicken sandwiches. You know, I don't think it's as close to them, but it is up there. It's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
So okay. So what has been clear to me is that in the battle of surf versus turf, turf wins, right? So I think I'm going to rate it the same. What I'll say about the fish is Cole, you bring up a good point. I grew up with a fisherman as a grandfather. Fun fact. It's why I'm getting the fish tattoo once everything gets over with here. But we had super fresh fish all the time. You would go and catch the lake limit, bring it home, skin it, scale it, fry it up. Incredible. I grew up with really good fish. And that is a good point, that the better quality fish, the fresher the fish, it shouldn't taste like fish. And so when you do taste something that tastes like fish, you should be weary of it. And McDonald's is probably trying to make it taste like fish. But again, it's not a thick enough fish. We were talking about that steamed bun. And almost in a way, that steamed bun works against it. Because it's so much bread to how thin that fish fillet is what I would say. It's so much bread. And I think after eating two sandwiches back to back at the same time, I feel gross. And I think a lot of it has to do with just eating tartar sauce and bread. But again, one of those things, I probably wouldn't order it. I don't order it during Lent. I don't order it outside of Lent. It was just one of those things where I think next week we're going to do some more fish sandwiches. But this was the baseline. This is the OG. This is the one that gets sold year round. This is the one I wanted to compare everything to when we do stuff next week. So, with that being said, fish fillet, man, I think I'm going to put it lower than, I think I'm going to put it at a 65. And honestly, I think I felt okay about it, but the more I think about it, the more I think about how I just never get it during the year. And we've established 70 is great. You would go get it. And I do not get fillet of fish outside of Lent or during Lent. Again, I don't eat fillet of fish. And so, yeah, I'm not getting this. I'm not craving this. I'm good. As far as the chicken sandwich, I would say that I'm surprised at how well it contends with Popeye's sandwiches or Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I did not expect it to become that close. I don't think it beats either of them. And I would say Popeye's is still on top for me. It's, again, the Popeye sandwich and the Chick-fil-A sandwich is kind of pretty different because a Popeye sandwich is such a big chicken breast. And the McDonald's sandwich is more of a Chick-fil-A sandwich. If you like Chick-fil-A and you're craving it on a Sunday, go to McDonald's, get that sandwich. Go buy some Chick-fil-A sauce, put it on it. It'll taste probably pretty similar. I mean, if I had to put Chick-fil-A, so I'll rank McDonald's at this chicken sandwich, I'd rank it at an 83. It's good. I enjoy it. But at the end of the day, I think Chick-fil-A is probably like an 85 and Popeye's is somewhere in the 90. To 90s range. So it's a little worse than both of them, but again, the convenience factor of it being in a McDonald's, you could order it and get it in a minute and a half and get on with your day instead of having to wait in that 20 car 10 minute line at Chick-fil-A or the 20 car 45 minute line at Popeye's. You know, it's if you're in a pinch and you need something quick, boom, that's it. That's your sandwich. But other than that, it's an all right sandwich. I'll still probably get the burgers or whatever comparatively just for cheaper things. But, yeah, I mean, good job, McDonald's. That's about all I got to say about it. That's a good job.
If my app will work, I'm trying to pull up and find a comparison. So
that's $3.99 for this chicken.
As I was about to say, both the Chick-fil-A and the Popeye's sandwich, just the sandwich, is $3.99.
This one was also $3.99.
So it puts it firmly.
And McDonald's is also $3.99.
So it's a firm competitor. But
well, yeah. I was about to say, the unfortunate thing, I think, is that they're pricing it the same for a sandwich that we have just kind of universally declared is not as good.
A little worse. But Popeye's
McChicken. As I say, but also, like Truman said, you're paying for a sandwich that will always appear within 2 minutes of you ordering it.
Right.
Exactly.
McDonald's isn't about beating anybody at everything, at anything. They're just about doing it faster at a good enough clip to compete with you for a better price.
To make a difference.
Well, yeah. And like for me, so my Popeye's definitely has some employees that you have to go in. I don't have a drive-through at my closest Popeye's. And they take a hot minute. If they have more than five orders at once, you shouldn't expect things to go very well.
Oh, yeah.
My McDonald's, I don't know what it is about these people. They talk about, oh, you're not going to go to college and you're going to go flip burgers at McDonald's. Dude, these people went to McDonald's University or some shit. They are robots. They are so good at their McDonald's job. And I don't care. I respect the hell out of these people. Every time I see them, they don't say a word to me. I'm like, thank you so much. And they're like, I'm out of there.
Get out of our fucking face. I got burgers to cook, man.
Thank you so much. Bag.
They're so good. They're so good. So, yeah, that's that experience overall, Popeyes versus McDonald's, gets a lot closer.
Yeah.
A lot closer.
Yeah. Yeah. McDonald's, I'll order. There won't be a line up until the payment. I'll pay. And there's been times that I drive to the window and they're literally holding the bag out. Like, they're just going to fucking toss it and say, here's your fucking drink. See ya. But
better take that hand off.
Yeah, the fastness of McDonald's, the rapidity, whatever.
It is rapid.
Definitely makes this a closer sandwich for sure.
Now, Cole, I don't know which Popeyes is closer to you, but I know I always, whenever I'm feeling it and I try to go to Popeyes, it's the one on Black Bob, like right next to the Lowe's and Cane's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has a drive-through, and I don't know what it is, but I'll always pull up and there's a line of cars out into the street, like that goes around that parking lot. And I'm like, God damn it.
That's about Cane's
has got so many orders for me just because I want Popeyes, and I roll up and I go, I'm not waiting in that fucking line.
Yeah.
No way. Incredible.
That was their business plan. That was it. Cane's is also really good at that. That's funny. That's good.
All right, so
we're going to only make chicken fingers. And
what was our final score for the two sandwiches? Score,
Surf, 70.5, and Turf, 84 average.
That's a pretty decent gap.
So with the upset and Surf versus Turf, Shake wins. Shamrock Shake was 88.75, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. But I mean, you know, you can't compete with the Shamrock Shake. It's just too good. But all right, I believe if you got the medium Shamrock Shake, which is 580 calories, I think the other two sandwiches are like 400 calories plus. So I think we ate 1,300 to 1,400 calories here.
I got the big one.
You ate probably 1,600 calories, Joe. And I had a big breakfast burrito this morning, so I am feeling gross and ready for bed. So let's wrap it up here. Joe, thanks for coming. Do you have anything to shout out?
Call me if you need to build a computer.
Call Joe. Seriously, if you need to build a computer, call Joe. I assume he'll charge you a reasonable rate if you do, or he won't charge you at all. I'm not going to tell you he's not going to charge you, but he does great computer stuff. We built my computer yesterday. It looks great. It works great. It took 8 hours. You can pay him in Filet-O-Fish and chicken sandwiches. Cole, thank you for being here. You got anything to shout out?
I'll shout out Kansas City area Harvesters, the food bank. Very cool. They're doing a lot right now, and I think after Christmas they've seen a big fall off in volunteers and donations, all of that stuff. But the need is still there, and in fact even more than ever because of the lingering pandemic. So if you give what you can, dime, money, donations, good stuff.
Nice. And Rory, thank you for coming. You got anything to shout out?
I'd like to shout out our listeners this time. It would just be four guys talking to each other over chicken sandwiches if there wasn't random people on Spotify listening. So thank you for showing up.
It's just four guys. It's four guys talking about food and eating it with my parents listening instead. It's really nice.
It's just two brothers. Two brothers. That's it.
Oh, and of course, I have been Truenstein, the Steam Machine. You can find me Twitch and Twitter and TikTok all by the same name.
Oh, baby.
I had my second TikTok pop off. Over 700 likes, dude. It's going crazy. I'm a TikTok star. Influencer life, here I come. What? But... Other than that, we do Dom That's True on Tuesdays, live on twitch.tv/steammachine. Tuesday nights, obviously, GrubBuds is filmed live Monday nights. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple and want to tune in, we always do a little more visual stuff. You get to read the articles along with us. You get to see the sandwiches, things like that. And I stream Friday, Saturday, Sunday also. We do a whole other stuff. Some Sunday night, I might build a computer out of nowhere and fucking
want to go. Already did it.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate all the guests being here, all the listeners. And we'll see you next week for probably more fish sandwiches. Bye.
We've had enough of this nonsense.